Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Now, today we're continuing into the new year, and we're digging deeper into one of life's biggest questions: does my life really matter? In today's message, Rick's going to continue his powerful series, Live Your Calling, What on Earth Am I Here For? In it, you'll discover how living out God's purpose for your life brings real meaning, direction, and joy, no matter where you're starting from. And now here's part two of a message entitled, You Are Called to Become.
The fourth thing on the steps of finishing the race of life is this: when it gets hard, remember the reward. When life gets hard, you need to remember the reward. Now, as I said, this goal for God to make you the man he wants you to be, for God to make you the woman he wants you to become, it's a lifetime process. It's not a 50-yard dash. And so you're going to go through a lot of problems and pressures and trials and difficulties and ups and downs, and God's going to use it all to make you more like Jesus. Now, since God's number one goal is to make you like Christ, that's what he wants you. He wants you to be loved, he wants you to belong, and he wants you to become like Christ. Then it means God is going to take you, listen very closely. If God's going to make you like Jesus, he's going to take you through everything Jesus went through. Were there times when Jesus was lonely? Yes. Were there times when Jesus was criticized? Yes. Times when Jesus was betrayed? Yes. Were there times when Jesus was worn out with fatigue and yet had to keep going? Yes. Were there times when he was misunderstood? Yes. And if God did not spare his own son those things, why do you think he would spare you? He won't. The next time you start to ask, why is this happening to me? You need to realize God wants to use it to build your attitude, to build your character. God wants to use it to make you like Christ. And instead of asking why, you need to say what? What do you want me to learn from this situation? The Bible says Jesus learned obedience through suffering. The Bible says Jesus was made complete through suffering. You're going to learn them the same way. So you shouldn't be surprised when problems come into your life, because this isn't the easy stage. That happens in eternity. In eternity, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more sadness, no more problems, no more difficulties. But right now, you're going to have all kinds of problems. Because this is where you do the character development, where you're growing and you're becoming. And when life gets hard, you need to remember the rewards. Problems are part of the process. Let me show you some verses here on your outline. The next verse in Hebrews 12 says this, verse 2 and 3. Jesus did not give up when he's running his race because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him in heaven, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, because he knew the reward on the other side. And now he's seated at the right side of God's throne. So think what he went through and how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So don't let yourselves become discouraged and give up. Say, you know, this is just part of the plan. The problems are part of the plan. Look at the next verse. Here's a great promise, 1 Peter chapter 5. After you suffer for a while, for a short time, God, who gives all grace, will make everything right. That's a great promise. He will make you strong. He will support you. He will keep you from falling. That's good news when you're in the middle of a problem. He called you to share in the glory of God. In his glory, he called you to share in his glory in Christ, a glory that will continue forever. So we have short-term problems on earth for long-term glory in heaven. Now, God does not promise an easy life here on earth. He does promise reward in heaven for the things you learn from it if you become more and more like Christ. Anybody who tells you life is easy is out of touch with reality. Fact is, life is hard. Everybody agree with that? Life is hard. It's not easy. Why? Because this isn't heaven. This is earth. Everything on this planet's broken. Is there pleasure on earth? Of course there is. Are there happy times on earth? Of course there are. Are there moments of joy on earth? Yes. Are there times when things are going great? Yes. But as a general rule, life is hard. You're not on the easy street. Everything in life, you have to struggle for. You have to work for. It's not easy. This is intentional. And you're learning through the school of character development, the character that you're going to carry with you into heaven. The Bible says this. Look here on the screen. It's not on your outline. Romans chapter 8. Since we are his children, God's children, we will share in his treasures. In other words, we get the inheritance. If you're in a family, you inherit the family treasures. For everything God gives to his son, Christ, is ours too. What a deal. God owns everything in the universe. He says, we get to share it as children. But, here's the but. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. I don't like that part. Let's just cut that part out of the Bible, okay? You know, we'll just forget that part. No, it says, if you're going to share in his glory, then you're going to share in his suffering. No guts, no glory. No pain, no gain. And they said, this is part of life. Don't be surprised. And when life gets hard, you need to remember the reward. Now, this week, we're doing a memory verse every week. This week, we're going to memorize part of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. So let's put it up here on the screen. Romans 8, 28 says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, remember we say the verse, we say the address at the beginning, at the end. So let's read it aloud together. Romans 8, 28, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose, Romans 8, 28. Now, by the way, where does in the Bible does it say that all things work together for the good of those who love God? Romans 8, 28. And what does Romans 8, 28 say? In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And where is that? Romans 8, 28. Number five, the fifth step in the marathon to maturity is I must gather a team to run with me. I gather a team to run with me. Now, it's your race, and nobody can run your race, but people can support you in your race. And what is helpful is that in your life, at different stages of the race, you're going to need different people to run along with you. Nobody is going to run your entire life with you. Because even if you married, there were years that you didn't know that person. But at different stages in life, you have people running with you through life, helping you, encouraging you, supporting you. That's called a small group. If you don't have anybody running with you, you're not going to make it to the end of the race. You're going to give up, you're going to discourage, and you're not going to become the woman you were intended to be. You're not going to become the man God created you to be. You need some other people in your life who are encouraging you, spurring you on, helping you run your race. You know, I've been to Africa many, many times. There's an old proverb in Africa that says, to run fast, run by yourself. But to run far, run with other people. See, I don't want you to just run fast and burn out. Every one of us know people who started off great in life, and they're nowhere to be found today. They had so much potential. They had so much ability. And you think, that guy, he's going somewhere. She is really going far. And you knew it. And where they are today, they're sidelined. They're doing nothing. They're wasting their life. Why? They didn't have anybody running with them. You need a small group. You need a few. You don't need 100 people running with you. You don't even need 10 people running with you. You need 3 or 4 running with you who you're running with them and they're running with you and you're supporting each other. When you feel like giving up, they keep you going. Hebrews chapter 10 says this. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and to good deeds. Spur, that means encourage. How do we encourage each other to do the right thing? Let us not give up meeting together. He's talking about a small group. Let us not give up meeting together. I hope you're going to keep your small group after we finish this series. as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another as you see the day is approaching. Why do some people not make it to the finish line? Why do we get stuck? Why do we stop growing? Why do we settle for second best and less than God's plan in our life? Why do we cop out and give up? One reason, fear. It's fear. And a lot of times, we don't even realize how fearful we are. But what we think is, I am so afraid of failing. I'm so afraid that I won't be able to measure up. I'm so afraid that I can't keep this commitment. I won't even try. And it is fear that causes you to miss God's best for your life. But when you belong to a small group, and that small group believes in you, and that small group loves you, then when you are beloved and you belong, you can become. And they give you the courage to do things. Having a small group who loves you unconditionally gives you the courage to start the race, gives you the courage to stay in the race, gives you the courage to finish the race, and gives you the courage to get up and start over when you've stumbled and really screwed it up. They say, you can do this. You can do it. Now, that is a safe place. When you get in a small group where people love you unconditionally, that doesn't happen overnight. A small group doesn't become safe in 3 weeks or 5 weeks or 6 weeks. It takes time. As you begin to learn to know these people, that you begin to trust them. You know their weaknesses. They know yours. You begin to be more open. You can say, I really had a tough time today. And you begin to have more openness with them because you're safe, then you can grow. I am in a very safe small group, but it didn't happen overnight. We figured out this week that the group we started, that I'm in right now, we started during the campaign 50 Days of Love. I know those people like the back of my hand. I know their strengths, their weaknesses, and I know that if I were to get sick tonight at 3 a.m. in the morning, any one of them would get out of bed and take me to the hospital. Because I've done it for them, and they've done it for me, and we've been there for each other in the last 12 years through every major problem you can think of. And I said this before, I wouldn't be pastor of this church if it weren't for my small group. They've helped me through some very tough times. You need to gather a team to run with you. Okay, number 6. This is a big one. When you're running the race of life, you need to realize God is cheering me at every stage. I need to realize when I'm running a race of life to become the man or the woman God wants me to be, that God is cheering me at every stage of life. Some of you have the mistaken idea that God only smiles at you when you do things right, or that God only smiles at you once you've reached the finish line. Once you've arrived at maturity, then God is going to like you. But until you become spiritually mature, God doesn't have any time of day for you. You're dead wrong. Nobody shames a baby for not knowing how to read, you dumb, dumb baby. You don't expect a baby to be able to read. Nobody shames a 10-year-old for not knowing how to drive or balance a checkbook, you dumb 10-year-old. No, no. You know what is appropriate for that stage of growth. When my grandkids draw me a picture and they bring it to me, I say, that's perfect. Now, I'm not saying it's a Picasso. I'm saying it's perfect for that stage of their development. God smiles at you at every stage of your development. He's not waiting for you to get to a certain level of maturity before he says, you're okay. You're already okay in his eyes because Christ died for you. Nobody shames a baby for not being mature. And you need to not be ashamed at whatever stage of spiritual growth you are in right now. A lot of times we secretly think, man, I should be further along than this. Given my age, I should be a lot more mature. I shouldn't have these problems anymore. I mean, I'm this number of years old. Why am I still having this hang up? Why am I still having this problem? Why am I still having this difficulty? And we start shaming ourselves because we think God is ashamed of us. God is not ashamed of you. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, why is this important that you realize that God is cheering you at every stage of your life? Because the major reason you don't become the man you're supposed to be is shame. It's shame. And what happens is, instead of admitting that we don't have it all together, we spend all of our time and energy trying to pretend that we have it all together. Faking it, wearing a mask, pretending, acting like I got it all together, when inside, you know, I don't have it all together by a long shot. Now, I hate to shock you, but everybody in the world knows you don't have it together. In fact, you're the only one who doesn't know it. God knows you don't have it all together. As your pastor, I know you don't have it all together. All your friends know you don't have it together. They just want you to admit it. You don't have it all together. When you start becoming vulnerable and you start admitting, you know what, my life is really screwed up. My life is really a mess. There's a lot of areas here that just aren't right. Then you could stop spending all that energy on faking it and pretending and convert that energy into becoming. You can either become what God wants you to be, or you can pretend you've already got it together. But you can't have enough energy to do both. This is why I love Celebrate Recovery so much. It's my favorite ministry in our church. Because the first step of the 12 steps in Celebrate Recovery is I get out of denial. I quit faking it. I quit pretending like I've got it all together. I quit trying to pretend that I don't have problems. Instead, I just admit my life is unmanageable and I need a manager, and that manager needs to be God. God is God and I'm not. Once you come to that, there's a great relief because you quit trying to fake it anymore. You realize God loves me even though my life's pretty screwed up right now. He's still cheering me on. And now I can actually start working on it. And by the way, Celebrate Recovery is not just for people who have an addiction to, say, alcohol or a drug or something. Celebrate, everybody needs recovery. Why? Because everybody's broken. You're emotionally broken. Your emotions don't work perfectly. You're relationally broken. Your relationships sure don't work perfectly. Your mind is broken. You don't think right all of the time. Everything in your life, your body is broken. So we all need recovery. And if you think I don't need recovery, then you're the one who really needs recovery. Because everybody needs to grow, and you can't grow until you admit, I don't have it all together. Here's another passage, Philippians chapter 3 in the Bible. It's another one of these classic passages on the race of life. Paul, this is the guy who wrote most of the New Testament part of the Bible, Paul says this, St. Paul, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I've already reached perfection. Now, wait a minute. This is the guy who wrote the Bible, and he's going, hey, I don't have it together. I'm not saying I've already achieved all this. I'm not saying I've already done all this. I'm not saying I'm perfect. He's not. He's saying, thank God I'm not what I used to be. And I am what I am. Thank God I'm not what I'm going to be one day. He says, I don't have it already achieved these things. I haven't already gotten to perfection. But, he says, I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. One day, I'm going to be what God wants me, the man God wants me. One day I'll be that. He says, I'm still not there. I'm still not all I should be. But I am focusing on all my energies on this one thing. I forget the past. You know all those dumb decisions that really messed me up? It's gone. My past is past. I'm going to forget the past. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling, there's that word, the third calling to become, is calling us up to heaven. So they just keep on going. I don't have it all together, but I keep straining ahead. Now, God is cheering you at every stage of the race. Those of you who are parents, have you ever watched your child run a race at school? Yes. At what point did you start cheering them? When they crossed the finish line? No. You start cheering your kids the moment they started the race. when the whistle was blown or the gun was shot and they get out of the starting box, you're going, let's go, let's go, let's go. You can do it, you can do it. You're cheering them at every stage of the race. God is doing that with you right now. Let's go. I know you can do it. I know. Keep going. Keep going. You're doing good. You're doing great. Keep running. Keep running. And God is cheering you at every... He's not waiting for you to get to the finish line. And what happens if you have a child who stumbles in the race and falls flat on their face and embarrasses themselves? What do? You cheer more. Come on. I know you can do it. Get up. I believe in you. You cheer more when they stumble. This is life-changing for some of you right now. You've never realized that God is cheering for you the moment you stumble. He's going, I know you can do it. You're better than this. I believe in you. I created you. I sent my son to die for you. I want you in my family. Come on, you can do it. I know you stumble. God isn't saying, oh, you worthless piece of baloney. I regret the day that I created you. No, that's not God. That's your dad. Don't project an unpleasable parent onto God. You may have grown up with a mother or father that no matter what you did, it wasn't good enough. And it was, come on, you could do better than that. Are you kidding me? And they shamed you your entire life. That's not God. God is cheering you every moment. And when you stumble, he cheers more. Come on, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. I made you. I created you. I died for you. I love you. I've got put my spirit in your life. And he cheers even louder. You need to never forget that truth.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, would you like to go deeper with Pastor Rick to discover God's purpose in your life? Well, now you can with the video-based study kit called What on Earth Am I Here For? This life-changing study is taught by Rick and includes a workbook and 6 video sessions. As you go through these lessons, you'll embark on a journey of discovery to answer life's most fundamental question, what on earth am I here for? You'll learn that it's only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Every other path leads to a dead end. This resource is packed with biblically centered principles and is perfect for personal or small group study. So be sure to request this study kit when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help share the hope of Jesus with a hurting world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.